Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Support for the Bubba Army podcast is brought to you by our friends at Manscaped, the leaders in male grooming. Their fourth generation performance package absolutely changed the grooming game, along with their refined body wash to round out your hygiene routine. Join the nearly 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped for their shower time routine by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with the code Bubba. Have you smelled Manscaped's refined body wash, fellas? The ladies love their signature scent. You and your boys will be so fresh and so clean when you start off your self-care routine with the ultimate body wash. Keep the grooming game going with the Performance Package 4.0, and inside this package, you'll find the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, weed whacker and nose trimmer, crop preserver and ball deodorant, crop reviver toner, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold all the goodies. The Performance Package 4.0 also includes the weed whacker to chop your worst weeds up the top of your nose and ears. Nothing's worse than that nose hair. Again, get 20% off and free shipping with code Bubba at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code Bubba at manscaped.com. Keep your balls trimmed, fresh, and clean with Manscaped.
Tastes like cherry chocolate.
Okay, you're alive.
I kissed a girl and I liked it. That news anchor looks like Katy Perry. It's throwing me off. We're live now?
Yeah.
Cool. Let me see. Prove it. All right, cool. We got 66 people watching. What's up? Welcome to Off the Rails with Anna and Blitz, also affectionately known as Blummel now. We're not starting too late. I did have to eat. Because I intermittent fasted myself too long.
Uh-oh.
And that's not good. Because then I get ravenous and then I can't get full. And I just want to keep eating. So I had to stop myself. And the way that I do that is I say, you've had enough. And then I just start downing caffeine. Because I feel like caffeine is an appetite suppressant, no?
Sure, why not?
If Dan can have cigarettes, then I can have caffeine every once in a while. By every once in a while, I mean every single fucking day of my life.
Well, yeah, you drink coffee every morning.
I do, yes. And I try to just keep it at that. But, you know, every once in a while, I like to treat myself to a little Celsius.
Florida Stanley, $10.
Not sponsored.
Thank you.
I'm not a sponsor for this, even though I should be. I love it. It's my favorite. It has more caffeine than most.
I know, but it doesn't have all the, like, guarana and all that yohemba
fucking... Let's see. I don't think there's a lot of natural stuff in here. I think this is just the least offensive of the energy drinks. It's like known as a healthier option.
But I love people that drink like 2, 3, 4 cups of coffee in the morning, and then someone grabs a Monster and like, oh, energy drinks are gross. Why would you? That's so bad for you.
Yeah, I mean, granted.
Been you drinking fucking 10 pots of coffee? What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean, that's not good either. I mean, but if, like you said, there's a lot of other added shit, whereas, like, coffee just beans and water.
I know, but, like, still.
Caffeine-wise.
Yeah,
you don't have a leg to stand on there.
No.
Buddy. Damn.
Nor is that guy.
Oh.
Don't say it.
I honestly didn't mean to do that, but I timed that really fucking well. Wow. Honestly, I was literally looking down when I saw it, and then I look up and I see it.
One-legged guy.
Someone that only has one leg. Two working legs, but one real leg.
Yeah.
We have not done Off the Rails in quite some time.
It has been a while.
Fridays off. It seems like last Friday was a month ago. Time is different at the BRN. It's really fucking weird. Time moves quickly in life, but about 4 times the speed of the BRN.
It's so weird.
So it's weird because it's something like, you know, I can't believe we're already in March, but also last week seems like last year. So it's very confusing. There's a lot of things going on. Personally and otherwise, it was really hard for me to focus because I have a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu test. My second stripe test is tomorrow morning, and I was trying to prep for it yesterday because I had a private lesson, and I wanted to watch some videos, so I had, you know, just so I'm more prepped for the prepping. You know, the more prepped you can be all around, the better, obviously. Mm-hmm. It was hard to focus on, you know, butterfly guard when we are entering potentially World War III.
Now, does that scare you because of the name?
Butterfly guard?
Yeah.
Or World War III?
No, the first one. The butterfly guard's way more scary to you than World War III.
No, I don't like butterflies. I've talked about this before. I have somewhat of an irrational fear. I understand that they're pretty harmless creatures, but they are horrifying. The way that they fly, the way that they move, the way that they transform is very disturbing to me. I don't like it. I don't want any part of it. I had a really bad experience as a young child where I thought a certain type of butterfly was a mythical creature. You know, the ones with the eyes on it. Like this. Looks like it's looking at you. It has four eyes on it. Two on each wing.
Like a monarch?
No. It's not a monarch. It's a butterfly that was in a fictional book, a Hansel and Gretel book that I read. And I thought it was a fake creature, like a centaur or something. Then I went to Wild Animal Park in San Diego, California, and those fuckers are real.
Uh-oh.
It freaked me out. So then I'm like, you know what? I fucking hate all butterflies. I hate butterflies of the day. I hate butterflies of the night, also known as moths. I hate all of them. They're disgusting. I don't like the way they move. I don't find them graceful or beautiful. I don't like their stupid fucking wings. I don't like them. They don't even fly. They kind of like jerk around in the air. You know, they're not graceful like a bird. They're disgusting.
I like birds.
I know you have an affection for homing pigeons. We talked about this yesterday.
I like all birds.
You love them. But yeah, so it's hard for me to focus yesterday when I'm trying to get the latest and greatest, not greatest, but the latest updates on Ukraine, Russia. Now after talking to, you know, Crush and Russian, I'm rethinking everything because obviously, you know, I'm in the camp of this is bad.
Mm-hmm.
This shouldn't be happening. Putin's a piece of shit. And I think most people feel that way. But, you know, when she was kind of giving a little bit of pushback on Ukraine, me as someone who doesn't really have a great understanding, I have a much better understanding than most people listening. But I, as far as total knowledge known, not very good understanding of the history of the region. She obviously has a better understanding. And when she starts coming at me with a different perspective, I will listen. Absolutely. Yeah. I'll listen. And I go, okay, well, maybe she has some points. I need to learn more. So that's my homework when I get home today. It's kind of just research what's been going on out there for the last whatever few decades. Why, like, the only thing I didn't understand that she was talking about is she said, you know, don't believe the media. And I'm like, so are they really not bombing Kiev? Or, like, what do you mean by that?
Right.
Because it seems like it's happening. Crushing Russian. It seems like it's happening. Tell me how it's not happening. Where can I go and see the other side, wherever that other side may be? So I'm curious to know. I'm curious to learn. I'm 3 weeks clean, no social media, going on four.
That long?
Yeah. And I mean, like, obviously I have to get on for the Bubba Army and post, you know, shit like Bubba blowing out the tires and the skid marks. Or wait, are they called skid marks? Or is that... All right, skid marks. Or are those on the toilet? Or they're both?
Actually, it's usually in underwear.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever. The burnout tracks. What do you call them? Skid marks. Yeah.
Yeah, so it would be a skid mark, but a skid mark is usually a break or like a turn.
Okay, so then what is that called? The burnout mark?
Yeah.
Okay.
The peg leg single burnout mark.
The peg leg single burnout marks I have to post on Instagram for you fine folks. So I'm not completely like not on Instagram or social media, but the only thing that was really causing me issues was my personal Instagram account, which I was spending literally hours every day because I had a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I've been off of it for 3 weeks. My anxiety has gone down significantly.
Great.
I feel like I should be maybe like writing this down, like journal entering every single day in case people are interested, which they're probably not, but I'm going to force it down your throat anyways. But I feel a lot less anxious. I feel like when I kind of want something mindless to do, I just find myself going and trying to, like, instead of watching a mindless video about, you know, a person I don't even know on Instagram, I'm actually like going and watching maybe like a 5-minute video on intermittent fasting or sugar. Awesome. Or, you know, social interactions, dating, like whatever the case may be. At least I'm watching something where someone is giving me some information that I could learn.
Mm-hmm.
So that is awesome. And I feel a lot less bad about myself. Does that make sense? Because I felt like,
yeah,
many times I would just waste an hour of my time mindlessly looking at videos. And in the moment, you don't have the strength to really put it down or the discipline, rather. And after it was over, after I kind of like snapped out of the zone, I would feel bad about the time I had wasted. I'm like, why did I do that again? Why did I do that again? Now that I'm off and it's just not a part of my life anymore, I'm way more productive with what I'm viewing.
Good.
And I feel really, really good about that. So it's uncomfortable for like a week or two, not gonna lie. But once you get past that kind of critical point, then it's pretty smooth sailing. Like, I'm like, could I just do this forever? I have no idea what's going on in anybody's life unless I personally reach out to mm-hmm. them. Which is fantastic because, you know, we always say we don't care, but we kind of do. Like, we care we're more curious. It's a curious kind of type of care. Not like, you know, you're really concerned about them, but you're like, I'm peeking into your life and I'm peeking into your life and I'm peeking into your life. I'm like, why am I doing that? Why don't I focus on me? If you're on social media and you're a content creator, I almost have more respect for you because you're monopolizing everybody else's time. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You're taking up their time. They're spending time on you. I was doing that. I was more observing, which is probably the worst type of person on social media is the observer, because at least the content creator is posting, is making things, is working on maybe business ideas, is trying to hawk a new cosmetic line or clothing line or activewear line, whatever the case may be. But me, the observer, I'm not buying, I'm not selling, I'm not doing anything except wasting my fucking time.
You're just sucking up all the bandwidth.
Sucking up all the bandwidth, killing my battery, and just frying my brain. And I also realized, oddly enough, that I have a lot more, not tolerance for, but I guess maybe it's patience. I don't know what it is, but like, I'm seeking out like higher quality social interaction. So where I'd be like, I don't feel like talking on the phone. Like, I feel like talking on the phone more.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm like, oh, I don't feel like texting that person. I don't want to get into a texting exchange. I actually feel more like I want to interact with people via text more so and reach out to people in my actual life because I'm not getting kind of inundated with low grade social interaction. So I have more energy for higher quality ones, which is good. So I'm only interacting with a few people every day. I have no idea what anybody else is up to. If you're messaging me, I'm just not going to get it. Text me. And if you don't have my number, that's probably for the best. There's probably a reason for that.
Yeah.
So don't talk to me. Thank you. 813-90-BUBBA. But back to the Ukrainian-Russian conflict. There is something that I am very captivated by and have been since I was like probably an adolescent, and that is dictators. It's an interesting type of celebrity that one person can rise through the ranks and really captivate a nation or more, and rule with an iron fist. And it's so funny to me because when you do the math, one person can't control all these people. Like, if the people, including the military, rose up against this person, they wouldn't have a chance.
Sure.
But you get people in such a hierarchy of fear and submission that you can control a nation or multiple nations or an entire Soviet Union, whatever, empire, what have you, that you can scare people into submission like that. I find, obviously, dictators don't tend to be nice people.
Usually not.
But they are an interesting bunch of folks, you know? Do you think we could ever get a female genocidal dictator? Because I feel like, you know, women is pimps too, you know?
No.
Bitches is pimps too.
No.
Maybe not. But I am just really... Do you have, like, a favorite dictator? Because I got one.
No, I love them all equally.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a great answer. That's a pageant answer. Not really one I was looking for. I would have to say my favorite dictator is probably Napoleon Bonaparte. I like him. He was a short little man.
Yeah,
I think
you were taller than him. That's why you liked him.
I think he was... I don't think he's as short as everyone thought he was. I thought he was like 5'3", 5'4", but I think he was like a cool 5'6", or 7". You know, not tall, not the shortest person you've ever met. I'm pretty sure he had one leg that was longer than the other, so he kind of like hobbled around. Just not great. Not a great physical specimen. But what I love about him is like he was taking shit over. You know, I think when I think of like French people, I don't really think of warriors. I don't think of people that are conquerors, even though I know that there's, you know, France did some damage. It's not a coincidence they speak French in Haiti. I get it. I understand that. But I think that Napoleon is probably my favorite because he got outed and then he came back and no one did shit. Like the guy who was in power at the time just stepped down and Napoleon was back in power for 100 days. I think it was called, look up like 100 days of Napoleon and you'll see.
What year?
Oh, I don't know. When was the French Revolution? Oh, fuck. Okay, here we go. All right, you got this one. The French Revolution. I don't know how long it lasted. That's not a fact I have in my memory bank. I want to say the year 1789 is sticking out to me. I don't know why.
As a start or end?
I don't know. It's just something about 1789, maybe when it started.
Okay, can I tell you something?
Marie Antoinette, what?
So far, you're right.
Okay. I feel like Marie, the beheading of Marie Antoinette is really what set it off for some reason. It's remembering this from 10th grade.
So it's listed as May 5th, 1789.
Shut the fuck up. For real?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty impressive because I haven't looked at that.
I completely agree.
I haven't looked at that probably since I was about 15 or 16 years old, and I'm 25, so do the math. But, So I like Napoleon because he just kind of comes back, there's like a bloodless coup, and for 100 days, the motherfucker's just back in power.
So no one
did shit.
He was the emperor of France from 1804 until 1814.
Crown himself, right?
And then again in 1815.
And I think he just crowned himself. He's like, this is me.
Right.
Thanks.
I am now the emperor.
Yes. And I don't think there I assume there was a king of France before then. And so I think emperor is like next level of, you know, now I'm close to God.
Right.
Is that how you would define like the difference? Well, I guess the king is the leader of a country. The emperor is the leader of an empire. So he's like, bitch, I don't just have a country. I got an empire.
Right. Well, first he was king of Italy.
Did he crown himself king of Italy?
I don't know. It says he was king of Italy from 1805 to 1814. Well, so hold on. So he was king of Italy at the same time he was emperor of France?
That's fucking pimp.
Fuck yeah.
Do you understand why I love this man?
No.
He's just an interesting dude. And I think he was doing oh my God. I'm now getting everything confused. Civil War. Waterloo, is that a Civil War thing? Or is that a fucking French Revolution thing? Battle of Waterloo. That's sticking out to me.
That's a song by, was it ABBA? Who sang that?
I don't know. But I need to know. I feel like Battle of Waterloo was a turning point in some war at some time in some country. Napoleon fucking nailed it again.
And
guys.
It was ABBA.
Okay, great. Yeah, June 18th, 1850, Battle of Waterloo. I want to say that was a turning point, I think, for the end of Napoleon. I don't think it was a good thing. But anyways, this guy was badass. I think it was awesome that he just like came back to town. The king at the time was just like, fucking go ahead, have it. And he just went back for 100 days until they're like, what the like the real guys had to be, what the fuck is going on? You can't leave this guy alone for 5 minutes before he just backs down out of power.
Right.
So then they took him and I believe he died on an island called Helena off the coast of Africa. I don't know which African country, but Helena, I think he died, right? By him. It was actually really sad, just all alone.
Let's see.
By himself.
You could Saint Helena.
Saint Helena, okay. What, like 1826 or something? 30?
Shit, it just said, I don't know, 21 maybe?
But I know that he was sequestered on that island for about 6 years, and then he just died there. But Napoleon, very interesting man.
May 5th, 1821.
21, beautiful. Hitler, very interesting man.
Hitty hit.
Stalin, interesting man. And what's so interesting, I mean, there's a lot of interesting things about Hitler and Stalin, but both were not born and natively from the countries that they ruled. You know, we obviously talk about Hitler in Germany, but Hitler, like most people know, was Austrian.
Austrian.
And Stalin was not Russian. I mean, we know that he was the leader of the Soviet Union, but he was actually from Georgia. He was a Georgian man. To me, he looks like Frank Zappa, or maybe Frank Zappa looks like him.
I was in Georgia last week.
You were?
Seems like a month ago.
Right, right. I think this is a different type of Georgia.
What do you mean?
I think this is like, you know, much like we have, there's two St. Petersburgs, there's two Londons, there's two Parises.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I know. Multiples. It's ridiculous.
Now you tell me.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I've always been kind of fascinated by dictators and, like, how they, like, what motivates them?
Sure.
And are they born, like, maniacal, genocidal psychopaths, or is it something that they kind of,
grow into?
Yeah. And I think it's got to be more of the latter.
Yeah, I mean, you got to have it in you to be able to be like that, but I'm sure you, like, grow into it, and you get desensitized along the way.
Absolutely. And here's the thing, like, I was learning a little bit about Putin yesterday because, you know, you could yell and scream, say he's a piece of shit. But, like, to me, I want to be like, I want to know where this guy's from. Like, what motivated him as a young person? What kind of, because a lot of times you see these people take up causes in their either late adolescence or early 20s where they feel captivated by a movement or something, or maybe someone killed their family member, you know, whatever sort of thing. Like, I've been learning a lot about the Bolshevik Revolution, the Russian Revolution around the turn of the century. And a lot of the people involved in that, like, had relatives that were killed by, you know, the Tsar and his cronies or whatever. And then that motivated them to stand up to the forces at hand and stuff like that. So I'm always really interested in that. But of what I learned about Putin, he was born in 1952, I believe. He became a KGB agent, obviously rose through the ranks of the Soviet Union. And I believe he was a Soviet spy in East Germany. So, I mean, espionage and, you know, cyber attacks and things of that nature is kind of what everything he's all about. But very interesting man. And it's funny because, like, when I was watching the news yesterday, a lot of the times they weren't really saying, you know, Russia wants to do this and Russia wants to do that. It was strictly them saying, this is Putin. Like, Putin has aspirations of grandeur that go beyond just Russia and what's good for the Russian people. It's what's good for Putin. Mm-hmm. Like, what's motivating Putin? And as we saw on the screen, I think Bubba played, you know, there have been thousands of arrests in Moscow and St. Petersburg because people are protesting the invasion. The people there in Russia are just, I feel like, as much a victim of Putin as the Ukrainian people are.
Sure.
Or any of the surrounding areas, because Putin just rules with an iron fist, obviously. And I mentioned Alexei Navalny. I mean, the poor motherfucker is, like, you know, a loudly outspoken opponent of Putin. And he's been beaten in the street. He's been poisoned. He's been gassed. I mean, I'm surprised he's not dead.
No kidding.
They, I think most recently poisoned him with, like, a nerve agent. What was it called? I feel like you wouldn't remember. No, I don't know. Whatever. I guess you just kind of go numb and, but he was saved. And then I think he was in a German hospital, but they got shipped back to Russia and now he's in prison again. And I also think that he went on, like, a hunger strike as well, where he didn't even eat for, like, 30 days, which is just, like, hardcore intermittent fasting, as far as I'm concerned.
Sure.
You know?
He's just a pro.
He's just a pro. So, interesting stuff. It's what a time to be alive is what I'm thinking. And it's funny because, like, you remember learning about history, or maybe you still do, and you talk about things like Vietnam and the Cold War, and my mom will be like, ah, I remember, and we were scared of the Russians, and I'm like, well, we're circling back to that, and now we're living in a time of history where we will be able to tell future generations, like, oh yeah, you know, COVID-19, the crazy fucking coronavirus of 2019, 20, 21, 22, till 2030, or however long this fucking lasts. But, you know, it seems like we finally clear that kind of out of the way. I'm sure it's still a problem in some areas, but for the most part, it seems like we're kind of globally moving past COVID. And then just, boom, boom, World War III right there. So interesting timing, interesting things. It seems like no matter how civilized or technologically advanced we are, we can really never escape our human nature, is what I keep seeing. You know, it's like you can talk to the president of whatever country on the shitter. You know, you don't have to send it by mail. You don't, you have incredible technology. Obviously, you know more than most. Planes, this, that, satellites. But at the end of the day, we're still greedy motherfuckers. And we still have situations where we have countries invading each other just over the prospect of land, essentially. Land and power.
Sure.
Really power.
Oil.
Yeah. Going back to if there would ever be like a female dictator, I feel like, sure, it's possible, but I don't think that women are as power hungry by nature, biologically, as men are. I don't think it's as critical of a biological driver as power is for men. And I think it all stems back to reproduction. So if I'm a really powerful woman, you know, and I have access to a lot of mates, which I guess is just a hot chick. I mean, you really can only max out at like what, 50 kids, and that's like disgusting.
Yeah.
If you start breeding at like 14 and you finish at like 45, say, you get like, you get 50 kids. Now, if you're Genghis Khan, you get 10,000 kids.
Well, sure.
Because you're fucking everybody. So I feel like the if you can conquer your neighbors and your own community and get a grasp, the resources, and women are resources, speaking biologically, then, you know, for a guy, that's a much larger incentive than it is for a woman. Because a woman could just be fucked by the same guy over and over again, and she could probably have 50 kids.
Boring.
Yeah, that's lame as fuck, but it could happen. But with guys, not really. You can't really pump out 10,000 kids from one bitch. You're going to need a harem of women.
Yeah.
So
that's
it's
what I need.
Yeah. Yeah. 813-90-BUBBA.
So I think a female dictator would probably be really bad, because any time in history where there's been like women kind of like in charge like that, like Rosada Blanco.
She's, I don't even know who that is.
The cocaine grandmother.
You would think that I would be an expert in this field, but I've never heard of this woman.
The cocaine widow or something?
Is she Black a Colombian widow? Woman?
She was when she was alive.
Well, that was a pretty good guess. Is she like Pablo, not Pablo Francisco, Escobar. Fuck, one's a comedian. Yeah,
kind of.
He's terrible, but whatever.
Yeah.
Is this related to Pablo Escobar and his hippos?
Yes.
Okay.
And she was like running part of it or something. And she was like killing people left and right or having them killed. And she was a bad lady.
Yeah, but I mean, guys do that too, it seems like.
I know, but.
And it seems like, I have a feeling she didn't rise through the ranks. Like, she was was she married to Pablo Escobar or something? And then died and then she got into power. That's usually how ladies do it. It seems like you got to kind of marry into it. And then when the guy's no longer functional or around, then that's when you get to start running things and calling the shots.
Yeah, I don't remember how she got started.
Well, I don't think that there's ever been, I mean, there's been like elected leaders that are women. But really, no, I would say nothing before what? Maybe Golda Meir, who was the prime minister of Israel, maybe in the 70s or something. I'm not quite sure. But you don't really see it very often. And so I'm not saying, go ahead.
Her and her mom moved to Medellin when she was 3. And it says, shortly upon arriving there, she adopted the criminal lifestyle.
Okay. She wanted to be a bad bitch. I get that.
At 11 was her first kidnapping.
Okay. That's kind of cool.
And ransom.
Okay.
And
badass.
Then she shot a child a couple years later.
Okay.
She started pickpocketing at 13.
This bitch is a fucking criminal.
So, yeah, she was bad. And then she had a bunch of people killed when she got into the drug trade.
But what was her, like, senior title? Like, what did she rise to the ranks to?
Was
she the leader of a cartel? Because that's a boys' game. That's a boys' club.
Right, and I think she was. She did a lot of, like, I think she was in the States, and she was like the go-between between
the liaison.
The liaison, and she like imported it and had it sold here and whatever.
Interesting. Interesting stuff.
Says her distribution network made approximately $80 million a month.
Okay. So she's good at what she does is what you're telling me.
Yeah.
And was she, do you know what cartel she was a part of or?
Medellin.
The Medellin cartel. Okay. And that's not the same as Pablo Escobar?
That is Pablo Escobar's cartel.
Who came first, her or him? Like as far as?
I'm sure him.
Oh, okay.
I think like she worked under him-ish.
Okay.
I don't know how or what, you know, I don't know the.
Right.
I don't remember. I saw a documentary of like. A few, like 5 years ago, 6 years ago.
I should probably watch that. I feel like that would be maybe a good move in terms of like being more covert because you expect women to be more nurturing and more compassionate. So when you have like this killer who's a woman, that might be a good like cover sort of a thing where you wouldn't expect her to be the one in charge and maybe she's able to kind of pretend like she's... I wonder, was she attractive? Was she an attractive woman?
No.
Ugly. She was an ugly broad. Okay, well, listen.
I mean, she might have been when she was younger, but like the pictures I saw of her later on, no.
You know, Daniel Tosh has a really insightful joke about this. He goes, you know, ugly women, you're just like, guys, you're going to have to work. Like, you're going to have to fucking put in the hours. Like, you can't just be like, please, with a push-up bra. Like, you're going to have to fucking get in the field and get to work. Take a call. Hello, who's this?
Oh. She's responsible for about 200 murderers.
Okay, that's impressive. Hi, who's this?
Hey, Anna, it's Alan, Cincinnati.
Oh, hey, Alan, what's
great.
Up?
Great.
Hey, so, Blitz, are you through Ozark? Because you guys are talking about
No,
this.
I saw season one and I'm done.
Hold on. Let me have a side conversation with Blitz here. He may spoil some things. Do you want me to hang up on him?
I don't know. Alan, is he back on? Are you going to spoil some shit, Alan?
Are you going to spoil it for us, or are you just going to, like, mention something?
I'm not going to spoil it.
All right. Don't be a dick. Go ahead.
All right. So do you think in some of the foreshadowing that happened at the end of this half of the season, does Navarro want some? It seems like they're foreshadowing something for him and Wendy to go down from that last conversation he had with her.
There was a sort of like a sexual tension, right?
Yeah, and then he said on the phone with her, whatever happened to us, when is this gonna, I don't know, it just seemed like a weird thing, like a throwaway line.
Yeah, I, when he said that, I was thinking more so along the lines of like trust, like we had such a good working relationship and you were able to get things done for me. But I don't know. I think it sounded sexual, but maybe it was more so like, because I know he's sitting with, I think they were like at a mall or something. Remember they're having that high-level meeting. Mm-hmm. And he has that private conversation with her and he says something along the lines of like, remember me when you're, you know, with your husband or he's out late at work and your kids are away and you're by yourself. Remember me. I felt like it sounded almost a little bit sexual the way that he said it, but I honestly think he was just more trying to scare her, like, you're never going to either forget me or my cronies are going to come get you if you don't get me out of this pickle or, you know, something like that. But I definitely felt that there were sexual undertones, especially because I feel like he touched her in some way, like, either on her back or something.
I think Marty's done with her. Like, it's all just a facade. That's why I was wondering.
Well, he was done with her from the beginning, remember? Yeah. Wasn't there infidelity even in season one? I think that there was infidelity and they were going to get divorced, but then they had to kind of stick together because
that's how the whole show started with her fucking
didn't someone?
Yeah, they threw that guy off.
Over the roof, right. The apartment complex, that old man. Yeah, right. So it started like that and they had to stay together because they needed to be a united front against, you know, they were both in Schitt's Creek with the fucking cartel, so they needed to work together and make it happen.
Right.
And it seems weird because like there are moments where they are like affectionate with their words with each other, but it seems it's not so much romantic, but it's just like almost out of survival and necessity. Like he'll tell her that he loves her, but I don't think that he maybe really does. It's more like a strategy to make her, like to soften her so they stay as a united front, you know, against the cartel, against, you know, I'm not going to give too much away, but, you know, obviously they were having some issues with their kid in season four. So, you know, they got a lot of things working against them. So I feel like Marty will often like say, I love you to her when they're going through a trying time. And it seems like he says that just to make sure that she feels like some sort of love and affection towards him so that she doesn't betray him.
But he's really passive aggressive, especially with this stuff, how she was handling, you know, the son who was effing everything up in the last season. Like, you could tell that he really wants nothing to do with her.
Well, he's just getting frustrated because I think he knows that she's not handling the situation well, and the way that she's handling it is driving her son away, which is causing him to cause more problems. It's just a strategy thing. I don't think that, you know, he loves his son more than her or anything like that. I think he just understands, like, hey, this is not how you deal with a rebellious teenager, is scream at him and yell at him because he's just going to go tell you to go fuck yourself. And also because they've been exposed to so much, like the two kids, they know, they're in the know about like what their parents are doing, that he has the, you know, as we saw, has the ability to kind of conduct business on his own. So they need to make sure that they got that kid under wraps because he could do a lot of damage, which he seems to attempting to do, obviously. But anyways, I don't want to get too much in the weeds on Ozarks. I don't know how many people have watched it.
My wife had a suggestion for you since she knows you like the claws. Have you ever heard of Flying Embers?
I feel like I have. Is it a seltzer or?
It's a hard kombucha.
So nope, fuck that shit. I don't like kombucha at all. It tastes weird. It's the fucking soba thing freaks me out. I don't like it. But like, what's the percentage of alcohol though? Because maybe I'll choke it down.
It's 5. I think they're like 5 to 6%.
Oh, please.
Some of them are spicy. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'd be willing to give it a sip or two. But kombucha, you know, I know that I'm the kombucha.
Flying Embers wine spirits variety 12 pack.
Because I'm kind of like...
6.9%.
Okay. I'm kind of like... you'd think I'm like a kombucha bitch because I'm into the vegan, vegetarian, you know, brunch life, whatever. But kombucha, it fucking frightens me. I don't like it. I don't like the taste of it.
The seltzer is 5%.
Okay. Well, thank you for the suggestion, but I think I'm going to stick to my claws and my Trulies. What's the other one I like? High Noon. High Noon's good.
Oh, those are good.
Those are nice. Those are pretty expensive.
Right. Have a great weekend, guys.
All right, bye.
Thanks, Alan. See you.
Thanks so much.
One way, motherfucker.
Yeah. I highly, highly recommend. Out of all of them that I've ever had, I would say my favorite are probably Truly iced tea, the peach and the lemon, and also the High Noon pineapple. Fucking dynamite. Fantastic. Yep. All right. We're going to awkwardly take a break right now for editing purposes, but we will be back shortly. So stand by.
Wow, I think, how have I been living like this? Kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. You're thinking, wow, how have I been affording getting gouged so bad? It's time to make the switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. And I mean, Mint Mobile's quality of wireless service is unbelievable. Say bye-bye to the overpriced wireless plan, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. They slow you down and completely screw with you. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you. With premium wireless plans starting at just $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited plan deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. Get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for only $15 a month. Go to mintmobile.com/Bubba. That's mintmobile.com/BUBBA. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Bubba. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower than 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fee, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
All right, we're back. So stop talking shit. Stop giving me the inside Iggy. Thank you guys for sticking with us.
Well, can you believe it's only 3 minutes? Dirty... Oh, wait, we're...
Yeah, don't... No racial slurs, please. On the way down to get the Grand Prix tickets, I rolled down the windows and I said to Blitz, do you want to play racial slur roulette?
And obviously I said, no, that's disgusting. Who would want to play that game?
That's not what he said.
And then I won.
That's not what he said. But we are going to the Grand Prix this weekend. I have never... That's a lie. I have been to a Grand Prix before. Didn't have a great time. I'm not a big fan of loud noises and crowds and not sneaking alcohol into venues. So all those three things combined. But I'm, you know what? I like trying new things. To say I went, to say I did it. You know that about me. I'm yes. always like, listen, it doesn't sound like something that would be up my alley because I'm I don't want to say I'm stuck in my ways, but I know what I like and I know what I typically don't like.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to come to the table with an open mind, and it should be interesting to see some fast cars.
Right? I will also be there Sunday.
Yes, along with
and
Bubba.
Probably today, and probably tomorrow.
I will be only in attendance on Sunday. One day is enough for me, please and thank you. Do you think this is very important? Probably the most important question I'm going to ask you about the Grand Prix.
Okay.
Will there be freebies?
Usually,
because
yes.
Jews love free stuff. I don't know if you
oh,
do that.
Really?
Yes, we do. Whether it's t-shirts, keychains, or maybe even a box of Cheez-Its. We love free stuff. I love it when they give you like the best ever is when you go into like either a convention or a fair or whatever. Oh. And the first thing that they give you is a big bag.
Can I text Dan real quick?
Yeah.
I'm looking at the rules for St. Pete Grand Prix, trying to figure out what you can bring in and not.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Our office closes at 3 o'clock today.
All right, I'll keep rambling on
no,
as
you're
I
good.
Do.
I just...
No problem. Thank you for letting me know. So I love it when you start off at a convention and they give you like one of those, like, not a nylon bag, but you know, those little backpacks, the cheap ones. Not the ones
oh, yeah,
that,
yeah, yeah.
The ones where you pull it and then at
it's
the top you get a little asshole.
It's an asshole drawstring. But
a
also,
drawstring backpack.
Yeah.
Those are the best. They're cheap, but whatever. But when that's the first table, when that's the first vendor, you're like, oh, this shit's going to be fucking off the chain. This is going to be great because I know I got t-shirts coming. I got fucking bomb-ass pens. Probably get some sunglasses. Probably get some chapstick. Like all the essentials that you want with some free shit. You know, sometimes you get the lame crap, like a fly swatter or some bullshit. But most of the time you get cool stuff. So I'm wondering if the Grand Prix is going to be like this. But I wonder also if like they're going to be giving stuff away that I don't care about. Like, oh, here's a free sample of motor oil. I'm like,
hell
no,
yeah.
I can't do anything with this.
Well,
don't know.
You need to.
Yeah, I know. Well, I would just have to give it to somebody else because I think I could identify my oil chamber.
You
I know
what?
My oil chamber. It's where the you hold the oil and you need the oil so that the engine's lubed up. Otherwise, it won't run. It's like the blood. You need... The engine is the heart, and then the oil is like the blood, and that's how the car runs. So, but hopefully they'll have like some free snacks and stuff because usually like cool people sponsor it. Maybe like Celsius.
So they might. Celsius was at Gasparilla giving away Celsius.
Well, look at
so
that.
So they might be at the Grand Prix.
Maybe we'll have some like pretzels or something.
So. I know. Like at the Daytona races, the NASCAR races, the media center is catered.
Now, again?
The media center is fully catered.
Okay. Now, catered is a very vague term. Because you could be catered with, you know, chips. Lay's potato chips or Pringles. or you could be catered with a 4-star meal. So you tell me, is it like meal style? So is it like snack style?
Every track
is it like
is processed
food style? What do you mean by catered?
Okay, so every track is different, and obviously every race is different because they're all independently owned.
Okay, but you'll actually find out today because you're going to go down there and get free lunch.
That's part of why I'm going down today to check shit out.
Now, how did you know that? Did it say that in the media thing, hey, free lunch?
No, catered? Bitch, I said the NASCAR races.
Oh,
I didn't.
Sorry. I got too excited.
Okay, yeah, I'm not NASCAR. Saying this one is. I'm saying the NASCAR ones.
Well, what did you get? Or did you get like hamburgers and it's like shit I can't eat?
I'm talking. Oh, did you listen? Quit being so excited over free shit. Every track is different. So, but usually they serve like, they have like lunch hours from like 11 to like 1 or 2. And they have like a whole like smorgasbord of food.
Such as?
Most of it's like airline-ish type food. So it's not that great. But like they have
define
like,
airline type food.
Like pre-made sandwiches. But like a lot of times they'll have a salad bar. Oh. Not great, but like a little salad bar. Sometimes,
and when you say a salad bar, do you mean a pre-made salad or do I make my own?
Usually make your own.
I like that. I like that a lot.
You know, and like it'll have like, you know, 5 items, not like 30.
It's fine.
It's not sweet tomatoes.
Okay, right.
Because then I would just live there. Mm. And like a lot of times like a little bit of fruits and stuff. And
okay.
Like maybe some
I like fruit.
Maybe like some prepackaged snacks.
Okay.
Chips or something.
Mm-hmm.
And like drinks.
Okay.
Sodies.
Would you
water.
Say that perhaps there's a chance possibly that there might be an open bar?
0% chance of an open bar.
Okay. But
because this is for people that are working, the media working.
But we need oil in our system to do better, to get the courage to get as close
oil.
To the cars as possible. We're not driving. It's not like we're the drivers.
No, we're working. We're covering the event as media.
Look at me. Look at me. Yeah, we'll be there. One of us will be there all 3 days. I will be there on Sunday. Probably going to get there. What do you think? Like 11?
On Sunday?
Yeah.
7:30?
Fuck. See you never. Not going at 7:30. That's ridiculous. Are you fucking kidding me? At 7:30?
Maybe 8. We'll probably get there at like 7:30, but then actually at the races at
I thought
8.
It starts at 12.
The main race does, but all the pre-races start
at
like 7.
Fucking I'll meet you there. I'm not going fucking at 7:30.
Yes, you are.
We're not going to have our first couple fight on the air about what time we're attending the Grand Prix on Sunday. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to get there. I don't want to do that. I need to sleep in a little bit. I can't sleep in tomorrow because I got to get choked out.
Well, that's your
fault. I don't want to go to the fucking Grand Prix at 6 in the morning. Not happening.
7:30.
All right. We'll discuss that later off
yes,
the air.
Yes, we will.
But this is a good segue actually into something I pulled up yesterday. Nothing to do with Ukraine. Nothing to do with COVID, nothing to do with the Grand Prix, but 11 mistakes you're making that escalates arguments with your partner. And this is probably good for us to at least kind of look at. Number one, it says, we're not going to go through all of them. I'm not going to fucking bore you to tears.
Okay.
You argue about more than one thing at a time. So you're like, hey, fuck you. You don't pay any attention to me. And your mom's a hoe. You should probably just kind of address each
individually.
Problem.
Two separate fights, not two into one.
Correct.
Okay, good.
This isn't your birthday's on Christmas and you get one present, okay?
Oh.
You get two presents. One for Christmas and one on your birthday, which is Christmas. Blaming language. A blame game saying you do this and that is never fun. They said to instead use language that emphasizes how you feel. I literally learned this in second grade with iMessages. Not you messages. You messages are you are a filthy fucking hoe. Mm. And I messages is something like I feel insecure when you act like a dirty fucking hoe. Do you see the difference?
Sure.
It's much better the second way around. Generalizing. Instead of using hyperbolic language that can make your partner feel powerless, focus on what you're feeling in that moment. Don't generalize. And then they proceed with zero examples. But I kind of understand what they mean. Saying shit like, you always do this. Mm-hmm. You never do that is never what you want to do. You want to just talk about the situation at hand. Avoiding eye contact. That's something that I'm very good at when I'm not happy. I literally can't look you in the eye. I turn into Lummy and the person I'm fighting with is Bubba. I don't want to look at you. But it's less of a dominance thing and more of a I feel disconnected from you. Fuck you. I'm not going to look you in your eye. I hate you. Criticizing too harshly. Name calling and cursing. Have I ever really? One time I think I called somebody a dick and then immediately apologized. I'm pretty under control when it comes to my emotions. And even when I am acting emotional, like, I'll call myself out and be like, hey, listen, I'm acting emotionally, but it's for these reasons. And it's because you're a piece of shit. Wrong time. Although it can be tempting to argue with your partner as soon as they do something that bothers you, it does more harm than good to argue in a space that it doesn't feel private or safe. So maybe don't do it when you're at a funeral or something or out and about. Now, I've never been in a situation and I refuse to interact with people who make public scenes. I've never been a public scene gal. I'm a private scene gal. I've seen public scene gals, and I would say they're not popular once they're known as a public scene gal.
Yeah.
It doesn't make you look good if you are the one, even if you're in the right, if you're bringing something up in front of people and it's really getting fucking heated and you're like at a pub, you're like at a bar or a restaurant or you're outside, but everybody can fucking hear you. It's really not the move, no matter what. No matter what. And I think the thing that's been like my saving grace and probably the best benefit, if any, of being single practically your entire life is knowing that you're okay on your own.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going to be just fine. Like, I'm going to be fine. I've been through some stuff way less than most people. I've been very lucky and unscathed for much of my life. But I know that I'll be okay if anything goes down with anybody, blitz or otherwise. I'll be just fine.
Right.
It's going to suck, but you know you're going to be okay. And that gives you kind of like a sense of confidence. Be like, I know I'm going to be fine. I don't need anybody. I may want somebody or, you know, I may feel connected to somebody. But at the end of the day, you don't feel like you need anybody. That's in a good place to be. And the reason why is because you know in your head that you can always walk away. That's always an option, mm-hmm. right? So if you feel like you need somebody and you have to work it out and it's just not, that's really, you're not really coming from a position of power. And so you get kind of, you might get more upset and you might do, compromise probably more than you're willing to otherwise because you're emotionally tied to this person. You feel like you can't, quote, can't live without them. But when you know that you can, then if they don't act right and you try to work it out in a constructive and mature way and it's not working time after time after time, then you know you're going to be just fine and you always have the option to walk away. You can always say, no, I don't accept this. Now, not if you're, you know, part of a human trafficking scheme. Like, there are limitations. Not that those are real relationships, but you understand what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
In a real, normal, somewhat normal relationship with two consenting people who aren't being trafficked, you know, you always have, unless they're obviously threatening your life and you have the domestic abuse and shit, that's different.
Right.
But talking strictly pretty normal relationships, you always have the option to walk away. And that's a very comforting feeling to me, knowing that, like, if things go wrong, like, I'm gonna be all right. I've been through shit before. I'm gonna be through shit again, and it's gonna be a-okay. But that takes a while to get to that level of confidence. And I've seen, you know, people I know that have been in relationship after relationship after relationship, one right on top of the other, they seem to kind of lack that sense of confidence.
Sure.
In that way, where they feel like they can't, or they don't know if they can, and they really doubt themselves if they'll be able to kind of survive on their own. Whereas when single is your default, you kind of, you're cool with it.
Yeah.
You're like, if this is the worst and this is my baseline, then that's fine.
Exactly.
It's great. I'm good. Hello, who's this?
Hey guys, it's Track Meet.
Track Meet.
On the call, yeah, I lucked out this morning with the Crushing Russian thing, didn't I?
You sure did.
That's not why I'm calling. But anyways, you were talking about the track again, and I can almost guarantee you you'll have your free stuff, but you'll also, there's like, usually they'll run a concert or something like that too, so you'll probably get to see a concert.
Now, can I make a prediction, Track Meet?
Yes, ma'am.
Now, I don't really, I'm not too familiar with, like, the demo of indie car racers. I've kind of seen dirt car racing people and what that's all about. Now, if they were to have, like, a concert at an indie car event, like the Grand Prix, would you say it would probably be country music? Is that a safe assumption?
No.
Okay. No. Interesting.
It would probably be more of a cultural thing, part, right, Blitz? Wouldn't you?
What do you mean cultural?
Like
what does that mean?
It would definitely be more cultural.
Yeah,
like Inuit throat singing? Like, what are you talking about?
Well, I'm saying, like, a lot of the IndyCar guys, they're not from America. They, like, the guy that you guys had on the show the other day, he went over to another country because that's...
So they're going to have, like, a yodeling contest? What is... I don't understand.
Like, French or France. Like, they're more French drivers. Yeah.
So Daft Punk will be doing a performance?
I have no idea.
Let's see here. The party,
you can probably look it up.
The party in the park is on Saturday.
Is that related to the Grand Prix, or is that...
Yes.
It is.
I don't see of any band that's going to be there.
No.
Is it, maybe it would be like DJs and stuff. But here's the thing, though: are the drivers are foreign, but what about the people that attend? That's who the concert's really for, right? Like,
it's a free community event.
It's a free party, man.
A free what?
A free community event.
Dude, that's a fucking nightmare. That means run for the hills. If it's free, that means that you won't find parking for days unless you're camped out there right now.
And it means I won't be going to that.
But and that's where is that in Vinoy?
Straw Park.
Where?
North Straw Park. Right, so yeah, right there, basically.
I think he can... Oh, I'm sorry. Didn't mean to interrupt.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
But I was going to say, Bubba, if he wants to, too, I think if he can get one of them little fold-up electric scooters, they'll let him cruise around on that thing in there.
I don't think they will.
Walk everywhere.
I don't think they will.
I've scooted around St. Pete and stuff, and there's certain... it's on a GPS, so it's like on the pier, it just stops working. So I don't know if it's going to be one of those where...
Well, y'all have fun, and if... I know y'all aren't very religious, but, you know, my dad's doing a 12-hour surgery right now to get that cancer taken out of his face, so pray to whoever you pray to, and just hope...
Well, definitely, definitely thoughts. Ah!
Right, see y'all.
Sorry, I just dropped something. Thoughts to your dad, man.
Yes.
No, it's all right. See y'all.
Good, yeah.
Thanks, Trey.
Wishing him well. Yeah, it is awkward when, like, you know, I've... reach out to a person recently who is going through cancer. And it is like awkward because most people just say like, I'm praying for you.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to be disingenuous because I'm not praying for anybody.
Right.
So I'm just like, hey, I'm sending you all the well wishes. That's usually what I say. So, you know, if you're an atheist as well. And you can wish someone well. Like, I really fucking hope everybody pulls through and everybody's okay. But praying is just, that's not my game. And I don't think that does anything. Feel like you're not, there's very few people, I almost respect those people who don't take their kid to the doctor, you know? Do you kind of respect those people?
Yeah.
They're like, I'm just going to let God handle this. Because a lot of people are fake Christians. They say, well, I'm praying, but I'm also sending them to the best fucking doctor mm-hmm. that we know. So I'm like, bitch, you're still in the science game. I actually have more respect for the people who are like, you know what? I'm going to let my kid die because Jesus. We're just going to use God's good wishes and pray to God and God's going to get us through this. And then when he doesn't, they go, okay, well, now he had plans for my kid. My kid's an angel now. And that's how that goes. 813-90-BUBBA. So is there one event at the Grand Prix that you were especially excited for? Maybe the Grand
races.
Prix?
Yeah, the races.
No, but like the big race, which is the Grand, like what is it called? The 100-mile march with cars?
Yes.
Seriously, what is it? I know it's the one on Sunday. Is that just called the Grand Prix?
So there's a few races on Sunday, but yes, the main one is the Indy race.
Now, what are the kind of cars are there? Because you say Indy, and is that because they're Indiana cars?
Yes, they're all built in Indiana.
Are you fucking with me?
I am.
Then what is Indy? Independent women? I don't... Can I keep guessing?
You can.
Independent. Indiana. Indian. Native American racers.
Correct.
Indian from India. From New Delhi. Okay, what is Indy? What does that mean? What is that?
It's IndyCar racing. Because it's based in Indianapolis.
That's what I guessed. But the cars aren't manufactured there.
I don't think so.
But the Indy is because those are the cars in the Indy 500, which happens in Indianapolis every year, right?
Correct.
And
also Indy Lights, Indy Pro 2000. There's the GT class, which I do want to see those. Those are cars like...
Grand Theft?
Yes. That are like Ferraris and Lamborghinis and stuff.
What is GT? What is that an acronym for?
Grand Touring, I believe.
And so it's just
like
any
touring cars?
Any sort of like high performance sports car?
I mean, yeah.
Are they made for the track or is it like Dan's Pista out there?
So these are made for the track, but they're based on the real car.
Okay.
They start out as a real car and they modify them, basically.
Now,
I know there's...
Here's the thing. Let me try to explain this to the people who don't know anything about racing, because I think I know a few things. I am an expert.
Yeah.
Okay. I think with dirt track racing, hopefully you guys are on, you know, you're on YouTube, you're watching. Dirt track racing, it goes like this. Left, 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 mm-hmm. left, left, left. You got it, right?
Yeah.
I think of what I understand with Grand Prix and Indy racing, it's more like this.
Yeah. They don't go upside down. They don't do the pop and lock, but they do race. They have glow sticks.
So that's more what the Indy racing is
like. They're not all
like.
On mushrooms. A few of them might be. But
yeah,
not
but
all.
That's pretty much the premise of the race, right?
Yeah.
And each lap is
so it's
a
still,
mile.
It's
or two.
Well,
they go
it?
1,000 miles for it, one race.
Is it 1 or 2 miles is the track?
Well, it's called the Grand Prix 100 miles.
Is it?
And so they do 100 laps and each one is a mile. Yes or yes?
No and no.
Okay.
And no.
Okay. Well, please explain to the people. Because here's the thing. A lot of you listening right now, you like want to be in with the boys and the racing, but you don't know shit. And now we're breaking down the basics. You're welcome. You're welcome. Go ahead.
So the track is 1.8 miles.
Is that like 3 kilometers or something?
It's like 1.8 miles.
Okay. Okay.
Because they race through a town, so it's not a track. You know, it's not a track that's a fucking town
right.
and an airport.
So that means that each race is kind of designed differently. Like maybe when they go to Detroit, it's a 2.5 mile
They're
lap.
They're all different. They're all way
but
different.
But the total amount is the same.
No.
Wrong again. Okay. Got it. So how long is the race? The main race, the big race.
Good question.
This motherfucker doesn't even know.
I could just make something up.
I know you could have, but you didn't because you're honest, which is stupid. You should just lie to me. You know I'll believe it. But
I don't know. A couple hundred miles, something like that.
That's insane. 100, but
maybe 100 laps.
Okay. All right. And the race will probably take, what do you reckon?
4 or 5 hours.
Okay.
It's 100 laps.
It's an interesting thing
it's
racing.
14
to me.
Turns. 5 lefts and 9 rights.
That's it? Oh, that's one lap.
Yes.
And they have to do that for like a fucking 4 hours.
Mm-hmm, maybe 6.
I wonder if that's fun for the racers. Like,
they hate it.
No, they don't.
By the way, so do you want me to be honest about the race?
Yeah.
It's about 2 to 2.5 hours.
Okay.
At the most.
That's why it starts at noon.
I shouldn't say at the most because like literally there could be a ton of wrecks and it could take forever or like it rains. But generally, it's about a 2-hour race.
Okay, and it's not like you have to fucking stay to the end. You don't have to stay to the end. There's no one locking you in.
Oh, no, we're media. We have to cover the race, including the winner's circle. And then we have to stay later for when they do the press conferences and stuff. We have to be there the whole, like, we'll be there till like 8 at night.
I'm going to do an Irish goodbye at some point. Yeah. I will go to the bathroom and just never come back. I've done that before, and I will do it again. Don't think that
oh,
I won't.
Oh, shit, that's right. Your car will be at your house, too, because I'm picking you up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm going to just do that Irish goodbye where you're like, all right, I'm just going to go to the bathroom, and then you just, walk. I'll probably walk maybe a mile or two, catch an Uber, and go the fuck home, because no thank you. I'm not staying there till 5 p.m.
No, 8.
Not staying there till 8 p.m. So you want me to get there at 7:30?
We're not getting there at 7:30, bitch. I'm fucking done. That's not so much serious.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Jesus.
813.
I know better.
90 Bubba.
That's
Bryce.
Why I'm going today and tomorrow so I can get all
get
like,
it out of your system.
Exactly.
See, that's the
I
move.
I won't even want to be there on Sunday. So when you're like, hey, let's leave, I'm like, you know what? Good idea.
Pro tip. Be miserable so that when people try to drag you into things you don't want to do, they go, I don't want to deal with this hurt dumbass, so we'll just go for an hour or two.
No.
And then you're like, yes, yes.
If we're there for an hour and you're miserable, I'm going to make you fucking stay the whole time.
Nah, I won't be miserable for an hour because I'm going to be chugging claws on the way down.
Yep. So the rules say if you try to enter the event with alcohol, they will call the police on you and have you arrested and removed.
That's why I said I'm going to be chugging them on the way down.
I know.
Don't worry. I'm not going to bring anything in there. Listen, I'm not a rule breaker. I'm a rule follower, okay? I might be a rule bender, but I'm not a rule breaker, okay? It's going to be a good time. It's going to be a good time. I'm excited to check it out. And
you'll have a
see
good time.
How we go.
The weather should be nice.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Looks excellent, actually. I was emailed yesterday, apparently. I'm glad I checked my email because they... These sneaky bitches will throw something in there that looks like it's it's from my apartment complex. But they send us notices for a lot of shit, stuff we don't care about. Like, they'll have food trucks every Tuesday and Friday, and they'll be like, nachos! Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, oh, God. So a lot of times when I see it's them, I don't even, like, click on it.
Yeah.
By the way, next Tuesday, we're planting flowers up front if you'd like to help.
Right. It's like, well, you know, March is whatever. Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. Like, plant a tree month. So we're planting trees every day in March. It's like, no, we're not, actually. Get the fuck away from me. So it was one of those emails. And during one of the breaks, during the big show, I clicked on it. And it's like, hey. And it was just addressed to me.
Oh.
And I went, oh. Says, this is, you know, if you're interested in renewing your lease, blah, 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 you might want to check out this PDF. And I went, yeah, click.
Uh-oh.
And, rent's going up, baby. It's going up. But what they do is they pressure you. They go, listen, this is what it would be. But because, like, you've been here a while, this is what it would be if you renew by March 6th.
Okay.
My lease ends at May 7th, so in a few months. They said if you renew by March 6th, which is essentially like in a week or so, it's this much, which is obviously less, and then a little bit more if you do it, you know, by the time your lease is up by May 7th. And I looked at the numbers, and then I started seeing what I pay now, broke that down, and it's not terrible as far as like what everybody else is going through.
Okay.
But just because it's common doesn't mean it's normal or good. You know what I mean? Just because my rent didn't go up $1,000 a month,
right,
doesn't mean that this is going to be like a walk in the park for me. So I wrote everything down. I'm not going to tell you what I pay or what they're charging, but I'll just say that it's going up about $280 a month.
Okay.
If you split that in half, it's $140, obviously.
Right.
Now, $140, is it going to put me out? Since I've been working with Bubba, I'll be okay, but I prefer to be better. So the plan of action now, and I've already had correspondence with Reagan, wonderful Reagan, we'll be living together next year, and I said, I'm going to pretend we're poor, and we are struggling, and I will give them all of the stats about, listen, I know that the market value is going up.
Right.
And I know that rents is going up, and I know that the property values are going up. Whatever, I get you. I understand. I thank you for considering even dropping it a little bit for us. But our wages really haven't gone up all the same. Because what they do is they send you this PDF document. They say, this is what it is, this is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But then they say some bullshit. And then at the end, and I read the whole thing, if you're having any issues with this, or you're not able to blah, 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 let us know.
Right.
Now, most people don't want to deal with people because it's annoying.
Sure.
I don't like dealing with people unless I'm saving money.
Right.
Because I'm a Jew and we like free stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We got free Cheez-Its here. I like them. So that's what I will be doing for the rest of the day.
And the thing is, even if you save, you know, 20, 30 bucks a month, like spread out, that's still a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
30 times 12, what's the 3 times 12 is 36, 360 bucks.
Yeah. Just for talking to somebody.
Just for an email.
Mm-hmm.
So, I love doing that because, listen, I love bothering people if I got a goal, right? If I want those press passes or I want those free concert tickets or whatever, or maybe discounted Botox. Then me talking to people and bothering them, I have no... It's fun for me. It's a game. How much free stuff can I get? How much discounted stuff can I get? So me sending in a nicely worded email, and I know that this bitch is just the manager there. It's not like she can't. But she can crunch some numbers. She has in the past, and I will remind her of that. Like, hey, we've been here for like 6 going on 7 years now. We love living here. You've done this in the past. If people are reminded of something that they did before, they're more likely to do it again. Because they go, fuck, she's right. I did give her a break last time. I did. Last time they tried to up it by $100 and I got them down to just bump it up 50. Well, it'd be each. So right. So I guess it was like 200 more. Mm-hmm. And I said, can you know, they bumped it to 100 more divided by 2 is 50. Okay, obviously.
That's good.
Absolutely. So I'm like, hey, listen, you did this for us last year. And then they're like, fuck, we did do it last year. All right, we'll do it again. You know, versus.
It's been a year and you haven't got a better job yet. You said you had a shitty job last year.
Hopefully she doesn't remember that. I'm like, listen, bitch, I was fired. I thought that was 2 years ago. It was. Shut up.
Yeah.
So why are you so obsessed with me? That's what I'll say. Why are you so obsessed with me, ho?
Look, I work for Bubba. He makes fun of me and shit. Like,
I have to deal with this. He's a misogynistic pig.
Right. You know Bubba the Love Sponge. You've seen the tapes. Go Google him.
Google him. He's a nightmare, but I don't have a choice because I was fired over unsavory tweets. Worst. Just kidding. Bubba's the best, and I am grateful of every fucking day that I work here, especially when I talk to my buddies that work at, you know, where I used to belong to. It shall remain unnamed.
Remain unnamed.
Cox Media Group Tampa. Just grateful. Just so grateful. It's a lot of fun here.
Sure is.
I'm making a lot more money here than there. You know, no one's trying to fucking take my hours down. I'm not having fights with other shows. If anything, we're getting along fantastically as a unit.
Yep.
And the people that are having problems are the Bubba Army themselves, fighting amongst themselves.
Man,
the people amongst themselves, but the show is going strong, is doing great, and I'm grateful for it. I did want to talk about this because I thought it was interesting, and I think that I want to know who's conducting this study. Because it says here, yeah, I said it. Hold on. I was very unprepared, and I didn't have this ready to go, but I'm going to get it right now. 1 in 3 young people say that they were actually happier being locked up during pandemic lockdowns. Now,
what?
I have a feeling that, well, this is coming out of Cambridge, the United Kingdom, where they locked people up heavily. So I feel like they're trying to say, listen, it wasn't that bad. We conducted a study of gamers, and they were much happier being at home, not going to school, because they could play fucking GTA all day.
Mm-hmm.
Does the mental impact of living during pandemic lockdowns is a common topic? Who cares? Researchers from the University of Cambridge say these teens and adolescents felt less lonely, avoided bullying, got more sleep and exercise.
What?
And their mental health improved while staying at home due to COVID-19, due to the COVID-19 mandates. Okay, yeah, you got more sleep. I don't think that your life was improved. Okay, so you avoided bullying, but did you avoid cyberbullying? You felt less lonely because you were fucking online all day, but did you really have any meaningful human interaction? Probably not. Sleep, yeah, you probably got more sleep. More exercise? Do you think people exercised more or less? And we're already a very unhealthy country pre-pandemic. So do you think that the pandemic made, forget about COVID and shit. And
right.
I know that, you know, like Tim Dillon said, this has been a holocaust of fat and old people. But do you think that overall, the people that survived COVID,
okay,
do you think that as a society we became more or less healthy or in shape during the pandemic?
Generally less.
I would say less.
Yeah.
Because even though the thing you needed to do the most was probably work on your cardiovascular health,
mm-hmm.
that was probably the number one thing to do. Eat better, obviously, but cardiovascular health improves, which improves with better eating, obviously.
Right.
But I would say because everybody was locked inside that, you know, and A, you're locked inside, so you're probably less motivated, and you're B, you're not seeing anybody, so you're less motivated to, like, look good.
Mm-hmm.
So you just kind of let yourself go, which was really not the move, obviously. But I would say that even though people had more time to sleep and exercise, they probably didn't exercise more.
Well, I almost said people exercised more, because, like, you know, Pelotons and things like that were, like, selling, like, hotcakes.
Doesn't mean people were using them.
Well, no, what it was people that normally go to the gym anyway couldn't go to the gym,
correct,
so they wanted to work it from home.
Correct.
So those people,
the people that were already in shape, didn't have a problem. They were going to find a way to exercise,
yes,
run, Peloton, whatever.
Yes. Correct. But I think as a whole, people were less. People that went to the gym every now and then were like kind of like, and they're like, you know, it's $10 a month. Who cares? And then they're not going to buy gym equipment.
Right.
So they just didn't go at all.
The ones that were fickle were going to probably, you know, get bucked off the horse.
Yeah.
Easily railroaded.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Because they were already not very motivated to begin with. And then with the prospect of not seeing anybody, you know, I think you see me in a fit of gluttony before a few times.
Yeah, maybe once or 30.
I don't think anything even comes close to what happened when the pandemic started. It was about 4 days of just nonstop glutton. Like, it was really fucking bad. Well, first off,
because you got free fucking snacks.
I did. So I was working at Horn Blasters, and I remember it was my last day. It was St. Patty's Day, so March 17th, 2020. Sorry. So almost 2 years ago. And Matt like comes into work and he goes, all right, well, we're closing up shop for I don't know for how long. But I do know that, you know, you guys aren't coming to work anymore because it's been deemed unsafe. And so he took a key and he opened the vending machine and he said, have at it. And I remember all of us, you know, I went up there and I grabbed maybe like a candy bar, maybe two.
What?
And he said, no, he's like, get in there.
Right.
He's like, get the fuck in there. I'm like, really?
He knows where
he's like,
born.
He said, yeah, he goes, let loose. It's okay. And I just went and I just was like, You know when you're not even picking things up, you're just shoveling things into a plastic bag? It was more of a shuffling movement. And I came with it was a bag of just like fucking, you know, packaged cookies and candy bars and just like crackers with peanut butter. Like just not the best shit for you. And I took it home and I ate all of it in 4 days. And that was just that. Like, don't think I wasn't eating other shit like at my other place of occupation as well. And because I was like,
vegan jerky?
No, like cookies and shit. Because I remember thinking the bars and clubs have closed, which are the places that I will be, like, my body will be most exposed, like, because I used to go out a lot more. So I'm like, well, if I don't have to be, you know, feel like I need to be ready to go out and in my, like, tighter clothing, then who gives a fuck? Let's get crazy. And I remember probably for about 4 days, I just let myself literally let it eat whatever I wanted. I remember the night of when we got let go from Horn Blasters. I'm not kidding. I probably had 4 or 5 candy bars. I just fucking completely like 20 years of holding myself back just was unleashed in about a 4 day span.
Crazy.
It was disgusting.
But, I mean, I've seen you somewhat do that before.
Yeah, but this was really, you know, a sight that people haven't seen before.
No,
the likes of which no one had seen.
That night, like the first night you did that, like how'd you feel about yourself?
Well, I didn't feel so bad about myself because I was kept reminding myself, you don't know when you're going to be able to see people. Because this was, you have to remember, this was at the very, very beginning where everyone was like really scared and they said, stay the fuck home.
Well, see, here's the thing.
Like, try not to even go to the grocery store, you know?
So I understand that. But to me, it was a little bit different because literally Bubba was like, I don't care what they say. We're all working. We're going to work every day. If we got to get passes to come into work, whatever. So, like, you know, that part of it didn't really change for us here.
I mean, I was still going to Cox every day.
Okay.
But, I mean, you know, not throwing shade at my coworkers, but I wasn't really trying to impress Will or Johnny B.
No, I know.
You know what I mean? So it wasn't, and we weren't, well, there was Bone TV, but it wasn't like this. Not that I'm really trying for you people here, but, you know, I felt like I wasn't as exposed visually.
Right.
So I was able to just fucking gorge myself as much as I wanted during the day, show up in sweats at night for a few hours and go the fuck home.
Mm-hmm.
That was the deal. But then what happens when you eat shitty for multiple days in a row is you actually don't want to do it because you feel so terrible. Like, your body is just like, why are you doing this to me?
I know, that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, I was just, like, constantly bloated and constantly eating because when you eat things that are, you know, highly processed, you get full quick, but then you get hungry quick. So you don't have a lot of sustained...
What's like Chinese food?
Right. Sustained, what's the word I'm looking for? Not satiety. Yeah, it's like you're not satiated for very long.
Right.
So I was just eating like shit, eating like a monster. Oddly enough, still working out.
Okay.
Those two things don't usually hang together for me. If I'm eating like shit, I'm usually not moving, which is really...
At least not after you eat.
Yes, especially not after I eat. So it's very bizarre that those two things were happening in tandem because for me, when I'm eating really shitty, I don't feel like moving, so I'm less likely to work out, which is probably the reverse of what it should be. You should be trying to move as much as possible, but that's not what happens with me. So, but yeah, it was probably about 4 days, and I remember just eating like ice cream sandwiches on cookies and just fucking going wild, and it was great. It was one of those things where I needed to have the purge.
Yeah.
And then I was like, all right, I can get back to normal. We're okay. Everything's going to be okay. But it says here a lot of young people were actually happier during the lockdown. I'm like, okay, who did you ask? Did you ask the loser gamers that go to Comic-Con every year? Because, yeah, of course. That's what they want to do with their lives. They just sit at home and do nothing. The common narrative that the pandemic has had overwhelming negative effects on the lives of children and young people might not be the full story. In fact, it seems as though a sizable number of children and young people may have experienced what they felt was improved well-being during the first national lockdown of 2020. I feel like this may be a situation where, like, you get lazy and then you ask people who have now been lazy for a year, hey, do you want to go back to work and be productive? And they go, no.
Yeah,
but it doesn't
I?
Mean that they're happier. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's kind of like a weird mental situation where you don't want to change, but you're not any happier.
Mm-hmm.
But people think, well, you don't want to go back to work, so you clearly are having a better time or you're happier not going to work. It's weird. But the thing is like you have to understand that probably the thing that's best for you in life maybe isn't happiness in every moment, but it's fulfillment and feeling like you were productive and accomplished something.
Sure.
Like that's a lot. There's a lot more staying power with feeling productive and feeling fulfilled than feeling happy or content in any given moment.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, you don't deserve to be happy at all times.
Right.
I mean, like, and you don't need to be happy at all times.
No, it's actually bad if you are. You actually have a mental disorder if you do. Because if think about depression, like, what's the opposite of depression? Someone who's chronically happy, that can't be good either.
Right.
Because then it's, but I feel like that never happens. Because, like, your body, the neurotransmitters in your brain just kind of even out. So mm-hmm. even if you're getting the same amount of serotonin, you're not going to feel that change because you're at a baseline of, like, whatever. Many, I don't know the units, but you know what I mean? Like the only way for you to feel that like spark of excitement or happiness is for a big change. But if your baseline, you know, it's you're not going to get the same bumps as you did,
right.
You know, at the beginning. Like at the beginning of the pandemic, it was kind of fun. You know, you go home and you're like, fuck, this is awesome. I don't have to go to work. But then after 6 months of being at home, you waking up and realizing you don't have to go to work really isn't giving you the same bump as it did before mm-hmm. at the beginning because that was kind of cool and shit. Now you're sick of it. So, you know, you kind of have to change with the times. Like, okay, this was cool for a week to be off of work or to be working from home, but is it really the best thing for you? And it's funny because all of my friends that work remotely now and worked in an office before, none of them want to go back. None of them want to go back, but I would argue that probably none of them are happier. You know what I mean? It's just that they say it's more convenient. Yeah.
Yeah. If I
you know what I mean?
Yeah. But if I had a job where I could work from home and like just be as productive from home as I could be at the office, I'd work from home.
I wouldn't.
Well, hold on.
I'm different.
I would work remotely. It doesn't mean it would be at my house, but I would be somewhere. I mean, I'd be, you know, somewhere.
But you would probably most of the time be at your house because it's
most
just
of the time. Yeah. That's just what you do.
No. Now, I might prefer that if you ask the gluttonous, lazy side of me.
Because then I'd be able to get a dog.
You would. And a lot of people did get pets over the pandemic, and then now they're giving them back when they have to go to work. Very sad stuff. But I would say that it's not good for, like, team synergy to be at home. You know, like, if we all did, some of our neighbors across the bridge do shows remotely. Or sometimes you have one person in one city, another person in another city, mm-hmm. and a third person in another city. Even though you're able, you're like, well, the technology is there. Yeah, but you don't have that team synergy as like we have here when we're all in the same room.
Correct.
And when I can look at your face or we can do like a bit and, you know, Bubba can hit Lummy in the back with a bat.
Right.
Like you can't get that. It's a different energy of when you're all in the room together.
I guess it kind of depends on your job, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're like in a call center type of, you know, atmosphere where you don't really interact with your coworkers that much, then who can, like,
right.
I get what you're saying, but like,
it doesn't actually matter. And you can do just as good of a job from home.
Yeah.
My thing is that you're going to, most people, not everybody, I'm sure, but most people are going to get breaks. Most people are going to have a lunch hour. Most people are going to have in-person meetings, like in a conference room.
Mm-hmm.
And although those things can be annoying and stuff, that's when you're interacting with people. That's when you feel connected to people. That's when you like you bond with people. I mean, how many times do you say like, oh, we met each other through work and stuff? You're not going to have that anymore if like I know people who not me personally, but well, I would say that like Will, for example, I worked with Will in person for like 4 years. Mm-hmm. Right. We're really, really good friends. Would we have had that same relationship if we were never face to face? Probably not.
No.
If he was just a guy I talked on the phone to or on Skype through or on mm-hmm. Zoom or whatever, you know, even once a day, I still wouldn't feel as connected to him as I
Correct.
Would if I was in person. Because guess what? We're talking during the breaks. We're talking before the show. Mm-hmm. We're talking after the show. Mm-hmm. Now we're, you know, maybe then we start hanging out on the weekends, whatever the case may be. But if you're just a person who's online and you're messaging, emailing, chatting someone who's God knows where they are, you're not going to build any of those bonds and connections with people, which I really feel like is sometimes the only saving grace of having and being in a corporate environment,
right,
or a working environment. But let's say corporate, because a lot of people work in, you know, corporate America.
I still would rather work from home and then do stuff during off time. Now, it would suck if you worked from home and then, like, everything's closed because of COVID. Like,
yeah.
That's bad.
Right.
But if you could work from home and then when you're done with work, go out, go hang out with friends, go do different things, then I would probably prefer that.
Yeah, I still wouldn't. And much like you, I would, even if I had to go to, like, an office by myself, I think I would. Here's the thing. I would prefer staying home because I'm lazy and we all are, but mm-hmm. I would know that it's better for my brain if I were at a place of work.
I know a few people that have either, they're totally separate people, but either YouTubers that are by themselves or people that have, like, a very small business where it literally is just them, and they went and bought, like, an office space or a warehouse, not because they didn't have the room at their house, because they wanted to be able to get up, leave their house, go to somewhere where they called work, worked, and then left there and came home.
I think that's important for mental health.
And that's what they were saying.
I think that it's important to, like, get up and feel like you have somewhere to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that people are relying on you to be a certain place. Because if you just wake up, literally roll out of bed and sit in that, you know, rolling chair in front of a computer, you know, you have work at 8, you get up at 7:56, and you get up and you get the coffee started and you're online, just blah, blah, blah. I feel like that would drive me crazy. And the thing is, the more you do that, the harder, the more activation energy it would take for you to go and actually go to back to a place of work.
Yeah. And I know another guy that he has a three-car garage with, like, an office on it, and it's not part of his house. It's, like, detached. So he literally has to, like, walk outside for, you know, 4 seconds.
Sure.
But, like, it's his own little office.
It's
like, it's separate. So
I think that's good, too.
That helps. But he's also at home where, like, he's an older guy, but he can, like, you know, take care of his wife or whatever, but.
Yeah, and I mean, it's great, especially if you got pets. I know my roommate got 2 cats, mm-hmm. so that was awesome for her.
If I worked from home, I would absolutely get a dog in a heartbeat.
Yeah. But you can also do other things like chores, laundry, sure. dishes, all that sort of shit. So it is nice in that way, but honestly, if you're being, like, fully honest with yourself, it's probably better for your mental health for you to get up.
Probably.
Go get ready. Because it also gives you momentum, right? You get up, you start accomplishing tasks immediately. You gotta, you know, brush your teeth. I know these are, like, menial tasks, but still, make your bed. You have to get it done in a timely fashion. Mm-hmm. It's not like you have all day to do it. Make your lunch, whatever. Go to work, and then you come back, and you kind of keep that momentum going, versus if you just stay home all day, and yeah, you're working, but you're not really being super active and having, you don't have a timeline to get, like, your chores done mm-hmm. at a certain time, then, you know, it's a lot harder for you to be like, all right, it's 6:30. Am I going to go to the gym now? Probably not. But if you only had an hour to accomplish it during your lunch hour, then you probably would be more likely to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what I have to say about that. Well, I think I've rambled enough here, and we probably need to get going, because tonight we will be back for Bubba 199 from 8 to 10 p.m. So make sure you tune in for that. It is going to be pretty cool, because Bubba's going to be in a good mood. He already decided. He's putting the music over. And if he puts the music over, everybody else in the room is going to put the music over, and we're going to make a lot of money.
Well, we know Creatine Travis will put it over. Ooh. If Bubba does, Creatine Travis will.
That's a fact. So make sure you tune in tonight for that. I hope you guys have a wonderful weekend, and we will see you on Monday. Bye.
We'll see you tonight at 8.
Tonight at 8, and then Monday. Goodbye.